Well, Vicky Beeching, well-known Christian worship leader, came out as lesbian. She's surprised by the response. We'll talk about it today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Many of you for years have known the name of Vicky Beeching. I first came across Vicky's work a few years ago. Ironically, it's when she came out as lesbian, but others of you had followed her music, enjoyed her worship leading, her songs that she had written for years in America and over in England. And when she came out as lesbian, there was quite a backlash against her. And a couple days back, she was on BBC's Hard Talk, talking about the reaction that she got, talking about her new book, Undivided. So I want to discuss these things. And Vicky, if you happen to see my tweet, I've reached out to you in the past via social media. We wrote to your website years back to interact. If you happen to watch this, you're welcome to join me on the air. And you'll see from the tone of the broadcast that I'm not here to attack. We have deep differences, but let's discuss them together. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for tuning in to today's Line of Fire broadcast. Here is the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you differ with me, if you need further clarification on any of the points we talk about, by all means, give me a call. By the way, I do have in the write-up for today's show, or if you see it on YouTube, the words gay Christian in quotes, well-known professing gay Christian. That is in accordance with my understanding of Scripture. That is in accordance with what I'm quite sure about, that you cannot follow Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time. Now, obviously, someone who identifies as a gay Christian and believes that you can practice homosexuality and follow Jesus at the same time, that you can be in a committed, loving same-sex relationship and the Lord is pleased with that. Obviously, they take offense at me saying gay Christian and putting that in quotes. Well, we have a difference there. I must be true to my convictions before the Lord, and you have to answer to the same God, not to me, and not me to you. Before we talk about this, before I play some clips from the broadcast and interact, I want to talk about a couple of other things of relevance in the news. Many of you know about the major ruling by the Supreme Court a few weeks back in favor of Jack Phillips and Masterpiece Cakes. The Supreme Court did not strictly say that gay rights cannot trump religious rights or freedoms of conscience or speech. They didn't explicitly say that. But they did say that the Colorado State Commission showed animus towards religion when they ruled against Jack Phillips. What was his crime? He said that he could not bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple. They could buy anything in the shop they wanted. But for him, Masterpiece Cakes, using his artistic skills to design something, if it was contrary to his convictions, he could not do it, which makes perfect sense. I don't believe that a conservative Christian should be able to go into a t-shirt store owned by two gay men and say, listen, we're doing some teaching about what the Bible says on homosexuality, and we want a picture of two men holding hands crossed out. I think the gay owner should be able to say, sorry, that's offensive to us and that violates our beliefs. They could say, hey, we go to a gay church, we're gay Christians, that's wrong to us. They should have that freedom. Of course they should. In any case, while the court did not completely rule in favor of Jack Phillips in the larger philosophical way and say anytime this comes up, then religious freedom will trump these other alleged discriminatory acts. Instead, they ruled in his favor, saying that the Colorado State Commission showed animus. Not only so, but in the case of Baronelle Stutzman, the florist who said that she could not make a floral arrangement for a same-sex couple. She'd served for years, knew one of the guys very well or both of them well, and just said she couldn't do it. She gets taken to court, basically the court after everything she has, her personal assets as well as her business. And the Supreme Court did not rule on that, but sent it back to the Supreme Court of that state in Washington, sent it back saying, re-examine your ruling based on our ruling in the Masterpiece Cakes case, which is major. It was not a total victory for Brandon Stutzman, but a big step in the right direction. Okay, now, why do I say all that? Because completely outrageously, the same commission that the Supreme Court ruled against, claiming it showed animus towards religion, which it clearly and absolutely did, they've gone after Jack Phillips again. Yeah. They have gone after Jack Phillips once again. You'd think they'd learn their lesson. But no, these folks are dug in. And by the way, this is separate from Vicky Beeching. This is separate from her own journey. This is separate from her convictions. I have no idea where she would stand on this. So this is a separate issue I'm addressing. However, it's important that we talk about this. It's in the news. So the Colorado State Commission is going after Jack Phillips again. Why? Well, he declined to make a cake celebrating gender transition. Someone transitioning from male to female or female to male. He declined to make a cake. Well, of course he's going to decline to make a cake for that. He doesn't feel that's something to celebrate and violates his religious convictions. And they've gone after him again. You've got to be kidding me. But this is the aggressive stance. You'd think a slap in the face from the Supreme Court pushing them back would be enough. And yet they've gone after him yet again. Remember what I've said for years and years and years. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. What do I mean? I mean that gay activists who in their minds are fighting for equality and freedom, fighting for the right to live their lives like everybody else lives their life, fighting for the right to have their relationships recognized, fighting against discrimination, fighting against being marginalized and cast out, that was their viewpoint, that's their mindset. They're simply fighting for equality and justice and calling for society to be tolerant, actually have a tremendous intolerance as well. Oh, not all, but plenty, especially the more committed activists. It's not a matter of just live and let live. No, it's a matter of we do not want your opposition. We do not welcome your opposition. We do not accept your opposition. If you're a part of a church, and your church says we do not recognize same-sex quote marriage, then you are a bigot and you should be challenged. If your pastor will not perform a wedding for two same-sex individuals, well, then that pastor is a bigot and should be challenged. And this is ongoing. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. It is a fact. Oh, there are plenty of LGBT-identified people who just want to live their lives. So live and let live. Hey, let us live our lives. You live your life, and that's it. But there are plenty of others who are as intolerant as they come. When they talk about tolerance, they mean my way or the highway. That's what diversity is in their view. So, Colorado State Commission goes after Jack Phillips once again. May this explode in their face for the wrong-headed attempt that it is. This has nothing to do with equality. This has to do with an attack on religious freedoms. There are plenty of places to go to get a cake baked. And should we assume that the person going to Masterpiece Cakes had no idea who they were? Should we assume that this was completely innocent, that they had not read the news, that this being big news, especially in Colorado where this happened, that they were completely unaware? Or was this a setup? I don't know the details, but it would not surprise me in the least if it was a setup. All right. Something else in the news that I want to discuss, an article that I wrote on this last night, is getting shared thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Just in a few hours, it's been out so far. The article is entitled, "This is Not Satire. An Open Pedophile is Running for Congress." Now, he just dropped out about a day ago or something like that. An open pedophile is running for Congress. Now, the story itself is a couple months old, but it was just brought to my attention yesterday. So not only is this guy a misogynist, not only is this guy who's talked about raping his wife, not only did he write something about father-daughter incest, and when asked about it, said, well, there could be a grain of truth in what I wrote. So you're saying he's raped his wife and committed incest with his daughter? Is that possible? And he's running for office? And he's a pedophile. Well, no, he's not going around raping children, but he's a pedophile. He says, yeah, he's attracted to children. And he says, look, people are sick and tired of us being politically correct. They want people to speak freely. No, they don't want people to speak freely about this. Sir, if you found yourself, to your own shock, attracted to children as you were coming into sexual awareness, and you find yourself attracted to children today, that's terrible. That is a real curse. That's horrific. That's bad. But rather than talking about it publicly as if, well, it's just no big deal, this is my area of struggle, this is something where you go and get private help. And by the way, God can change pedophiles. He can change anybody. And this does not relate to Vicky Beeching and her journey. These are, as anyone who listens to the show knows, I cover lots of issues, and especially at the beginning of the show, cover key things in the news. So this relates to larger related issues about sexuality, etc. But this is Vicky Beeching would despise this as much as I do. Vicky Beeching would be repulsed by this as much as I am. Okay? That's not the issue. So I just want to make that totally clear. But this is something where you get help in private, and this is something where you keep yourself far from potential temptation. You say, well, if you really believe God could change someone, and there was a former pedophile, would you let them work in the nursery in your church? Nope. Would you let them babysit your kids? Nope. Well, that would be foolish. That would be exposing them to temptation again. Here, let's say, sir, that you were in an adulterous relationship with another woman, and then you broke it off. You both broke it off decisively. And you said, this is sin, we're going to separate ourselves. And you got free. And you're no longer thinking about the person. Would you now work in the same office side by side and, you know, have that person as your secretary? Only if you're a fool. So use wisdom to keep far from potential sources of temptation, even if you're free. But, friends, I wrote about this in 2011 in A Queer Thing Happened to America, a lengthy chapter with massive detail documenting how 8 major arguments used by gay activists were the exact same major arguments used by pedophile activists, saying that, you know, mutual man-boy love is acceptable. It's horrific even to talk about these things. I was not comparing the acts. I was comparing the arguments. Friends, this is what's happening in the world around us. Let us not get desensitized. Stay grieved, stay burdened, and pray for this guy to find freedom. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. I just want to address a couple of comments that I noticed on YouTube that are shocking. Shocking. A comment that nowhere are Christians more persecuted than Israel? Are you kidding me? Someone else said, how can we never see a street preacher, Christian street preacher in Israel? I've got friends of mine, Israelis, who preach in Hebrew, preach Yeshua, preach Jesus on the streets. Wow. What world are you living in? Seriously. And then Jed, hey, call the show, buddy. Don't call me a hypocrite and misquote me, misrepresent me. Call the show. That's why we have live talk radio. Wow, but just read some of this and think, what world you guys in? That's wild. That's wild. All right. Going to talk about Vicky Beeching. And Vicky, if you watch this, reach out in a moment. Just want to grab one call that relates to where we were a moment ago. We go to Baltimore, Maryland. David, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My question is, we've been, as Christians, we probably know about carrying the Roman soldiers packed the second mile. He was allowed. Hello.
I'm here. Go
hello?
Ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He was allowed. He was allowed to force. He had the privilege of forcing the person to carry it 1 mile, and then they would as Christian, they would volunteer to carry the second vial to bless him. Now, my question is, why would the baking of a cake for a gay couple be so onerous as to not be? Couldn't you see it as going the first mile or the mm-hmm. Even though it's the whole thing's become a matter of legality under our Constitution.
Is there anything that you wouldn't? I appreciate the sentiment, David, and saying, hey, you go the extra mile, etc. But is there anything that you wouldn't do if you were asked to? We're not just talking about deny your faith. These same Christians were tortured to death rather than deny their faith or rather than confess Caesar as Lord. But is there anything – let's say you're a Christian photographer, right? And Playboy magazine says, hey, we hear you're a really good photographer. We're doing a new shoot. Would you do this shoot for us? Would you do that?
Or even more to the point, you were a photographer. You had your own shop for portraits, and someone came in and wanted you to shoot them nude. I understand that. That really is the heart of the matter. And I just offer the question. I suppose that each of us has to answer those questions.
Right.
I certainly couldn't take nude pictures of anybody.
Right. I really appreciate the desire to say, hey, let's reach out, let's extend ourselves, let's do things that we really don't like to do. But obviously we have convictions before the Lord. So, for example, a Christian photographer, if you're going to do a gay wedding, that means you're going to pose the couple. That means you go, all right, this little peck on the lips here now. Let's, how could you do that if you felt it was sinful in God's sight and that God was against it? And that this was a fundamental violation of his order. So for a cake shop, you buy anything you want, buy any cake you want here, by all means, we'll serve you. Your car broke down, sure, take you where you need to go. I mean, just help and serve. But if you're asked to do something artistic, if you're asked to do something creative, in an expression of something that you find to be grossly offensive or wrong in God's sight, and now you're being threatened with punishment to do it, that's where you have to say, I'm really sorry, but I can't do that. But David, I do appreciate you raising the question. We've had these discussions with our students, ministry school, and weighed things back and forth. But ultimately, if we're convicted of something deeply before God, we have to say, so sorry, but I have to obey the Lord. I have to be true to my convictions. And that's understandable. And that goes both ways. And we should respect that as much as we are able to. Hey, thank you, sir, for calling. All right. So, worship leader, musician, songwriter, Vicki Beeching, some years back, in the midst of a health crisis, and then just looking at lots more questions about life, decided that she had to come out and say that she's same-sex attracted. But not only so, after wrestling with a lot of this theologically and doing advanced study and studying the scriptures and praying, she was convinced that scriptures had been misunderstood, and that in fact you can be in a committed same-sex relationship and follow Jesus at the same time. So she was on Hard Talk 2 days ago, August 13th, today's the 15th. Here's an article, BBC, Beeching, churches slammed her on me for being gay. So let's listen to what she had to say. I want to play a few clips, and I'm going to interact with her on these clips. And again, my goal is not to be right. My goal is not to smash someone's position. That's why I always invite dialogue and debate as much as possible. And just look, I've had folks on the air with me that we disagree totally. At the outset, I said, okay, it's understood we disagree, and we're going to talk about these things. So listen to what Vicki has to say.
And that's when I began really rethinking the whole issue, revisiting what the Bible actually says with academic scholarship. And I realized actually that the verses I thought were prohibitive of same-sex relationships, I think we've just misunderstood them in the church. And so it took me a long time, several years of study and prayer, but I really do believe that now, that God actually creates many of us to be LGBT, and that that's who we're meant to be.
All right, so Vicki, taking you 100% at your word, I believe everything you said. I totally believe you've wrestled with this, you studied, you've come to certain conclusions. And I'm an academic myself. I've got a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literatures from New York University. I've written scholarly articles and books on the Bible, commentaries on biblical books. And I understand different interpretations of verses, different translations of Hebrew and Greek. I understand that. So I believe you genuinely wrestled with these things and came to these conclusions. Here's my first question, Vicky. Are you 100% sure? Or are you willing to stake your life on this? Are you 100% sure? Not just I think, I believe. Are you 100% sure that the Bible is God's word, A, and B, that God in his word does not prohibit same-sex relationships? Are you 100% sure? I found it interesting that as I've interacted with different professing LGBT Christians, even some pastors and leaders, that they say, well, we're not 100% sure. I mean, you're 100% sure of anything. Well, I'm 100% sure of the existence of God. I'm 100% sure that I'm his child. I'm 100% sure that Jesus is Lord. I'm 100% sure that if I was to die, I'd go to be with him. I wouldn't live the way I was living otherwise. And there are plenty of areas of debate and discussion and question. And yeah, we're all on a journey in that respect. But there are other things that hills will die on. So are you sure? That's my first question to you. Second question is this. Are you sure that God makes people gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender? That it is not something that's also shaped by upbringing or also shaped by life experience? Do you think there's a reason that the major psychiatric and psychological associations, as much as they are gay-friendly and pro-gay in their viewpoints, still say we don't know for sure why people are same-sex attracted? And it seems to be a group of factors and some biology and nature and nurture, environment and different things. And if God made people trans, then why try to change that? If God put a man in a woman's body, then why should that man now go through sex change surgery and hormones for life? And he'll never be a complete woman in that respect, as you are a woman, Vicky. Why do that? And then more fundamentally, do you see an order at creation that when God blessed us and said, be fruitful and multiply, that his blessing on humanity was a heterosexual blessing? And that only Adam and Eve, a man and woman, can be one because they once were one? I know you've been through this, but let's not even look at the prohibitions against homosexual practice right now. Let's look at God's order. Throughout all Scripture, every reference to homosexual practice is negative always and only. Throughout Scripture, every reference to marriage, family, relationships is always heterosexual. Honor your father and mother. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Always. That's the only template, the only model that's there. Reading the Bible as a same-sex attracted person, you've got to feel excluded on some level. You've got to feel like this does not talk directly to me. You know, it's like you've got an Apple computer and you're looking at a manual on a Microsoft operating system, and it's not compatible. Something's missing. Oh, I know the Bible talks about love and relations in general, but it's very clear in terms of what God ultimately established. He didn't ultimately establish polygamy either. It wasn't Adam and Eve and Yvette and Yvonne. And Jesus said there's the two becoming one in Genesis 1 and 2. Now he says that in Matthew 19. So just go back to the order of things, Vicky. And then are you that sure that godly people, devoted people, Jesus-loving people, who knew same-sex attracted people through the centuries, maybe themselves were same-sex attracted, that everybody got it wrong through history? Everybody got it wrong until the sexual revolution, until the age when 12-year-olds are sexting each other, until the age of rampant pornography, until the age of rampant no-fault divorce, that everybody got it wrong until we entered into a time of sexual anarchy, and now we're getting it right? Does that make sense to you? You say, who in the world do you think you are, Mike Brown? Don't you think I've wrestled with this for you? Yeah, but you're still here, and I'm still here, and I'm praying for you that God would really get hold of you in a way where you'd experience his love in a way beyond anything you've ever known. I'm sure you've encountered him before, but in ways beyond anything you've ever known. And in the midst of that, he would show you he has a better way. A better way in him. All right, we'll be back. There's more. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, a few weeks back, I was preaching at a conference about Israel and the church, and I quoted from Basilius Schlink, godly German Christian leader who stood up against the Nazis and then was a great lover of the Jewish people, wrote about that much in the years that followed, founded the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary. And Basilius Schlink made the comment that anyone who loves as much as God loves has to suffer. And anyone who really knows God knows that he must suffer. It's almost an exact quote. It's an overwhelming thought, but when you really love, there's pain. You know, you drive past a funeral parlor and there are people weeping as you drive by, and you just drive by. You don't know the people. You have no relationship with them. There's no love there. They're strangers, and you might say a quick prayer, but your heart's not torn out. But when you love, there's pain. When you love, when you care, there are consequences. And here we are in this world, friends, called to stand for truth, called to stand for what is right, and called to walk in love, and therefore it is costly to follow Jesus. This is Michael Brown. Thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast today. What do you do when someone you love, someone who you've known as a Christian, someone you've known to be a follower of Jesus, that person says, I'm gay. But here's what they mean. They don't simply mean I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. They mean this is who I am, and I believe God is fine with me being gay. And not only so, I believe that he blesses my relationship with my partner. We both love the Lord. Our lives are blessed deeply. What do you say? Well, if you don't love the person, then you act in a sinful way. You lash out at them. Yeah, I'm talking about if you hold to fundamental scriptural truth. You lash out at them. You attack them. You call them names. You think, you hurt me, and you make it about yourself instead of them. But when you truly love, then the fact of the matter is you will have pain, but you must speak the truth in love. It grieves me. It breaks my heart when I hear of Christians mistreating others, abusing others, speaking evil of others, not walking in love, lashing out in angry terms. It grieves me when I hear people say, yeah, I'm same-sex attracted. I went to your church, and when people found out, they mocked me. Or I was at a Bible college, and they mocked me. That is grievous and painful, and I hate that. And it's contrary to the spirit of Jesus. Yes, I'll tell someone the truth. You cannot follow Jesus and practice homosexuality at the same time. No, you cannot. Scripture's plain on that. That's a hill I'll die on. No, you cannot follow Jesus and be in a same-sex relationship and expect to be with him forever and ever. You are sinning against him and violating his lordship. I'll shout that from the rooftops. But I'll do it with a broken heart. And I'll say, look, I still like to reach out and I still like to interact. Are you willing to talk? Are you willing to pray more about this? Are you willing to reconsider any point? So, Vicki Beeching, well-known worship leader, has a new book out, Undivided, came out, I think, in June, where she tells her story, and not surprisingly endorsed by people like Matthew Vines and Rob Bell. And Vicki, I'm curious to know, do your beliefs about Christianity in general stand where they used to stand? Meaning, do you still believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation? That Muslims need Jesus, and Buddhists need Jesus, and Jews need Jesus, and people are lost without Jesus? Do you still believe that? I'm curious to know that. Because when you talk about being a Christian and there's a wide spectrum of Christianity, I'm curious to know how wide that spectrum has become. Do you still believe the Bible is God's authoritative, inspired, and inerrant word? Yes, to be rightly interpreted and applied, but do you still believe that? I'm just curious, asking. So Vicki Beeching on BBC's Hard Talk 2 days ago is being asked some excellent questions, and very fair questions and gracious questions by the host want to take you into the show. Listen to this interaction between BBC Hard Talk host and Vicky Beeching.
They now regard you as something of a traitor. They,
yes.
they believe that you have found a path that is based upon lies and indeed, in a sense, a betrayal of Jesus Christ and his life and teachings.
Yeah, I think that's been the most crushing part. I knew that I would probably lose my music career, which I did. There was a huge boycott of my music. But I just hadn't expected quite the amount of vitriol and backlash as soon as I came out. And ever since, really, I've been receiving hate mail,
but
death
threats. Why hadn't you expected it? Because you stood there for years in churches and listened to the sermons and know exactly what they think about homosexuality. So I'm surprised you were surprised.
I knew there would be some sort of response, but I think I hoped against hope that because it was me and because they knew me and liked me and sang my songs, maybe there would be just a bit more compassion, or perhaps even that some churches would say, well, we know Vicky, we know her music, maybe we'll rethink this issue.
All right, a few things that I want to say in response to what Vicky said. I'm so sorry that you received hate mail. It grieves me. It's not God's heart. It's not the heart of so many that pray for you and whose hearts break for you. Even if you say you're happy and thriving and everything's fine, our hearts break for you. I can only tell you, Vicky, that for saying that what the Bible says is true and accurate about same-sex relationships, I receive constant hate mail. The ugliest stuff you can imagine, and a lot of it from professing gay Christians. Ugly, crude, despicable. Fortunately, there's a lot of hatred on all sides. Doesn't excuse a follower of Jesus mistreating you, or professing follower of Jesus mistreating you, but I'm so grieved that you've gotten that hate mail. That hurts me as well. I just want you to understand, though, Vicky, this is not something where people say, well, we know her, we like her songs, so we're going to rethink this. There's nothing to rethink. You may believe so, but you've got to understand your same-sex attractions, and as deeply seated as they are in your life, and as far as you can tell, this is how you've always been, whatever efforts you've made to change didn't succeed. You have to understand your perspective is biased. Vicky, I know plenty of ex-gays. There was just a new peer-reviewed study that came out. It happens to be a Catholic journal, but it's peer-reviewed by professionals, and it's highly respected, that looked at the lives of religious men and those who were same-sex attracted went to get help, and they found a very high success rate among those who were religious Christians. This is just another peer-reviewed study. I know many people who are no longer practicing homosexuals. I know many people who literally went, by God's grace, from homosexual to heterosexual. And one guy recently said he was a survivor of the Pulse Massacre, the gay bar where there was that horrific massacre in Orlando a few years back. He said that it's for him, it wasn't a gay to straight thing, it was a lost to save thing. And now he's following Jesus and a different person. Vicky, Jesus does change people. And if he doesn't, it doesn't give you the right to rewrite scripture. I know you say you haven't done that, but I challenge you to go to God afresh and to say, God, is it possible that because I'm same-sex attracted, that's biased, caused me to be biased? God, is it possible that I'm not reading the scriptures in an honest way? Look, I know people that find all kinds of justification for divorce when there's no justification in their particular case because they've fallen in love with somebody else and they've fallen out of love with their spouse. If you fall out of love with your spouse, well, you get with God and you say, Lord, help me to walk in love because this is the person that I'm covenanted to. And Vicky, I'm sure you know that there are Christians who say, yeah, I still struggle with same-sex attraction, but it's contrary to God's order and I'm following Jesus and I'm celibate and I'm blessed. My life is full. Jesus is enough. Look, there are friends of mine whose spouses deserted them, but their view was no remarriage unless the spouse dies, the former spouse. Doesn't matter if they're remarried or whatever. And they've been single for years and years, and some for decades, but that's their conviction, and God gives them grace. Others, there's a tragic accident early in a marriage, and there's a handicap or a crippling condition where you can't have normal relationships between husband and wife, and they remain married, and God gives grace in the midst of the challenges for decades. He can give you grace right where you are. Look, you should be glad, Vicki, that so many Christians take the Bible seriously. It's not a light thing to us. It's not a light thing to say that marriage can be redefined. It's not a right thing to say that something contrary to God's order. Vicki, God didn't make you to be with other women. He made you for men and men for women. It's something sacred to us that God created us the way he did with certain intent. And if you say, yeah, but there are heterosexuals who are barren, yes, but their relationship is not in fundamental denial of God's order. All right, one last clip I want to play from Vicki Beach. It's not to debate. It's not a debate. I'd debate anyone on this, of course, but this is a discussion. And once again, as I did several years ago, reaching out, Vicki, with the hope that you'll watch this. And you say, you're not telling me anything new. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I hope you hear my heart, because it reflects God's heart. And he hasn't given up on you yet. Let's listen to one more clip from the broadcast.
For the most part, unfortunately, most churches just kind of slammed the door and told me I was choosing a life of sin, unfortunately.
Are you still a Christian?
Yes, but I think Christianity is quite a broad spectrum. And I think it's important that we don't let a very extreme wing of Christianity be thought to represent everybody. I'm actually doing a PhD at the moment in theology, so I'm very passionate about understanding the Bible in an academic way. And there are plenty of people who think that you can be gay and Christian. It's just part of the church doesn't.
All right, Vicki, you make a big mistake when you say those who hold to the historic teaching of the church and synagogue, what the church has virtually universally believed for almost 2,000 years, that's extreme. That's the extreme wing. No. It's not the extreme wing. What you're talking about is there's this giant boat that's been sailing the ocean for centuries, and you're on the tip of it and just jumped off, and you're saying that the boat is extreme. No, that's not the case. Not only so, there are plenty of professing gay Christians who say, well, we acknowledge that Paul had a problem with this. Or, yeah, well, Moses definitely did, but that was Sinai when under the Sinai covenant. In other words, one way or another, you have to get away from many scriptures and their plain intent. All right, more to say on the other side of the break. Stay right here. Shake the nation, change the world.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me share my heart quite openly. As a Jewish believer in Jesus, I've interacted for years with religious Jews, with devoted Jews, with men who, to the best of my knowledge, are not hypocrites. In other words, they're seeking to practice what they preach and live a life consistent with their religious convictions and pray with real sincerity. And they're some of the nicest, kindest people that I know. And yet, from the bottom of my heart, as I understand God and his word, they're lost without Jesus, Yeshua. They need the Messiah. Some of you come from a background, a Muslim background, and you knew people that were very much God-fearing and very devoted to their faith and wouldn't hurt a fly. They're anything but terrorists. Yet we believe they need Jesus to be saved. Some of you say, you know, I've got atheist relatives. Like, everybody loves them, loves her. It's the nicest person. Yeah, they're, in other words, when we follow Jesus and we say people are lost without him, that's a painful thing. That's a big statement. And yet, as we understand it, nobody's good enough to get in. We need mercy. We need the cross. It's the same thing with struggles we have in our own lives. One person is at the core of their being. They're proud. Everything is like ends up about me, about me, about me. and someone else, they're just, they want to hurt people. It's like, well, my life doesn't want to hurt people. I've heard of folks like that. One pastor was talking to me about folks like that that he's counseled and met with. And others, just their minds filled constantly with sexual desires, heterosexual, homosexual, doesn't matter. And then others, there are other areas of sin, rebellion, brokenness in their lives. There are different manifestations of these things. Same-sex attraction, just another one of those, wherever it comes from. Even if someone was, quote, born that way, which I don't believe is scientifically true or scripturally true, but even if it was, we must be born again. There are things in our fundamental nature that are flawed, that are sinful, that are destructive, or like concrete blocks that are put on someone's feet when they're thrown into the water to die, to kill them. There are concrete blocks of sin, of broken human nature, of flaws within every one of us. And that's why we need mercy. That's why we need a redeemer. When someone now makes that part of their identification, I'm a gay Christian, as opposed to I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a son and daughter of God, I love the Lord, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yeah, I've struggled with same-sex attraction. It's frustrating because I don't find myself attracted to the opposite sex, and I want to marry and have children in a natural way, and I can't do that. It's very frustrating and difficult, and the church doesn't understand me. Well, let's reach out and do our best to understand and help you. But do not now make the area of struggle the area of your identity. Back in May, we produced our animated video, Can You Be Gay and Christian? If you haven't watched it yet, I encourage you to do so. Just 6 minutes, and we look at the scriptures. We give the principal arguments from gay theologians. We look at what the word really says, and we point to God's ways, which are best. If you've not watched it, just go to askdrbrown.org/consider this. That's askdrbrown.org/consider this. And you'll see our three first videos, Can You Be Gay and Christian? What does it mean to be conservative? And how did the church get cut off from its Jewish roots? And God willing, a lot more such videos to come in the days ahead. The amount of hate mail that we got over Can You Be Gay and Christian? The stream of death wishes. Watch it. Tell me what's ugly about my tone. Tell me what's hateful about my tone. Tell me what's attacking about my tone. We just present the truth in love. And the flood of death wishes and ugly stuff. I mean, there are almost 5,000 comments to the video on YouTube, on the Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel. And then it got played snippets of it several million times on different gay and trans channels on YouTube. The whole story behind that. But there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments that had to be deleted that were just too ugly. And even though I'm used to this, it's still shocking to see what came my way. However, that does not determine truth. The level of ugly response does not determine truth. And I personally believe that many of the people responding in anger are responding out of pain. They're lashing out at me, just like your best friend or your spouse could accidentally step on your toe and you still scream out because it hurts. So I understand many of these people have been hurt over the years. Many are hurting because they're not experiencing God's blessing. Many are hurting for other reasons, rejection they've been through, or inner conflicts. And when you speak the truth in love, however gentle, you're going to get a violent response. But let's flip this around. And I want to get back to Vicki Beeching. Vicki, there's no excuse for people lashing out at you hatefully. There's no excuse for people acting in ways that are unchristian. But I hope you can understand that some of the level of response you've gotten is because people do feel betrayed. Because they came to love you, and they came to embrace you as one of us, and they worshiped the Lord with songs that you wrote. Now they feel betrayed. Not betrayed that you say you're struggling. Oh, Vicki, if you said, I know this is not God's plan for my life, but I want to be candid, I'm struggling. Do you know the level of support you would have gotten? The outpouring of love? Oh, you would have a few idiots, I'll call them idiots, who attacked you as if you were some terrible sinner for struggling. But do you know the level of outpouring? And you know how many others would have come and said, oh, if you can say that, I can say it, and I want to pray, I want to have one understanding as well. And it could have done good for the church to now come together and say, all right, here's someone who hasn't forsaken us. Here's someone who's not denying the explicit teaching of Scripture. Here's someone who's not denying the historic understanding of the church and synagogue. Here's someone that we love, that loves the Lord, saying, I'm struggling. It's just like someone else coming out and saying, I've struggled with depression for years. And they don't, you're not going to throw stones at that person. Now we're going to have a conversation that we didn't have before. Vicki, it's not too late. Oh, you think you're making progress on the right path? And as much as I'm speaking from the heart, and I held back tears earlier just as my heart was hurting for you, you might think I'm being hateful and arrogant. I don't know how this sounds to you or comes across to you. But I can tell you from the heart, I care. I can tell you from the heart, I pray that God would grant you repentance and restoration. And I tell you this, you could bring healing to a whole lot of people. You say, oh, you have no idea. I'm sure you're hearing left and right from, quote, gay Christians, LGBT Christians. And they're telling you, Vicki, you've set me free. Now that you've come out, you set me free. Now the burden's rolled. I'm sure you're getting those letters too, but ultimately you're complicit with their downfall. Ultimately, you're complicit with their spiritual downfall, with their spiritual destruction, with helping them go in the wrong way rather than the right way, sad to say. So I pray that God would grant you repentance, that God would open your heart, that something from the word that was stored in you and from the God that you worshiped and loved, that something stored deep inside would awaken again. You realize, no, this is not right. This is not right. That you'd even look in the mirror one day and say, God did not make me for females, but for males. And above all, he made you for him. And friends, those of you struggling, those of you with questions, there are plenty of online resources. There are plenty of brothers and sisters that will pray with you and encourage you. Go to restoredhopenetwork.org, restoredhopenetwork.org, just to meet some of the many ministries that are out there. If you write to us and say, hey, could you refer me to someone that could help, or a group that I could pray with, that I identify with, by all means. In my book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, lays things out very clearly. And I quote a lot from professing gay Christians and their allies, the reason being that I want believers to understand that have a broken heart. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. Speaking the truth in love, Jesus was filled with grace and truth, not grace or truth, but grace and truth. And sometimes we want to be so loving, we don't tell people the truth. Sometimes we want to be so truthful, we don't walk in love. Jesus is full of love. Jesus is full of truth. And he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Vicki, you know that Jesus never affirmed homosexuality. You know he never affirmed homosexual practice. And in point of fact, he took the moral standards of the law to a higher level. And you know that he said the things that come out of our hearts, including all sexual acts outside of marriage, defile us. Matthew 5, Matthew 15. And you know, in Matthew 19, he defined marriage as the union of one man, one woman. You say, yeah, but he wasn't dealing with committed same-sex relationships. You mean to tell me, Vicki, that our all-seeing, all-knowing Savior didn't look into the hearts of a same-sex attracted man or woman and see the struggle, that he didn't know? John 2, 24 and 25 tells us he knew it was in the hearts of men, that he didn't know what was in people, and that he didn't have the ability to see, and that if he saw, he chose not to say anything of affirmation or encouragement or help. Instead, simply reiterated marriage as a union of one man, one woman for life, and every sexual act outside of that defiling, and the moral standards of the Torah taken to a higher level. It's because he's God the flesh, and God's ways haven't changed, and our Creator created with a purpose. Friends, if you've got a friend, family member struggling with same-sex attraction, gender identity confusion, don't reject them. Reach out to them all the more. Be a friend all the more. If they say, no, this is how God made me, I'm going to live it out, that's where the relationship is going to be challenged and may even have to separate. But if they say, I'm struggling, can we talk? I don't know what to do with these desires, attractions. You'd be the best friend they ever had. You'd be the best parent they ever had, the best sibling they ever had. And friends, together, with God's help, we'll see many change. Vicki, we're praying for you, motivated by love.